Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There was a huge crowd. And with that, there was a huge problem. I remember when I pastored in Atlanta and our church was growing rapidly, and I said, "You know, not everybody is happy that we're growing." And I said, "But for those of you who find it a little uncomfortable that you're not able to park where you used to park or to sit where you used to sit, you can thank God that we're not seeing miracles of healing." Because even though you would very much like to be healed of whatever ails you, if God started working supernaturally and doing miraculous healings in our congregation, you really wouldn't be able to find a place to park. You really wouldn't be able to find a place to sit. And there would be all kinds of folks being brought into the room who would not look good or necessarily smell good. The reason for the huge crowd was because they'd seen Jesus healing people. They saw supernatural things happening, and that attracted a crowd. And it was a crowd of people who were curious, but ultimately it's going to be a crowd that is determined to make Jesus king. Now, I know this part comes at the end of the passage, but it's important to understand the whole passage. Therefore, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Does that sound a little like a contradiction? They were going to come and take him by force and force him to be king. What the human heart wants is someone else to be in charge who will do what we say. I mean, that's our nature. We don't want to be the one being shot at. We want somebody else to be out there in front, but we want to be sure that they're the right kind of leader who will do what we want. It's the case in home. It's the case in our nation. We want a ruler who will enforce our will. That's the kind of Messiah they wanted. This one does miracles and gives out free food. Whoa, I'll vote for that. And so they were ready to take him by force. And yet in the midst of this miracle, if you look at it, God followed his usual pattern of doing his miracle in those who were obedient. That's what the Lord chooses to do. That's how he operates. And so in this passage, there was a huge crowd resulting in a huge problem. And Jesus asks a bizarre question. He says, where are we going to get food to feed all these people? Now, if you read the other accounts, and as we've said before, this miracle is the one miracle that's in all four Gospels. Okay? So if you check the other Gospels, you fill in a lot of details that John doesn't include. John fills in details that the others don't include. You put them all together, you have the full picture. But the disciples said to Jesus in the other Gospels, I think we need to send these people on their way. Jesus says, no, you're going to give them something to eat. Here you see that there was a dialogue because he says, where are we going to get the food? Where are we going to buy it? What's your plan? Now, he said this, the Bible says, in order to test them. This was a test. Does God ever test you? Does God ever put you in a situation, not because he wants to see what you're made out of, but because he wants to expose it, he wants to bring it out in the open. He wants to teach us. The best tests are those that reveal what's going on inside, so that what is going on can be dealt with. And Jesus was going to expose some things here, and that's why he told the disciples, you give them something to eat. And then he's going to make it possible for them to do that. They will be the ones to go pass out the food. But that was something that was utterly outside of their human ability. God puts us in situations where he's the only one who can come through, but he wants to use us. Not because he needs us. He doesn't need us. He spoke the universe into being. But God wants to work through us, because our destiny in Christ Jesus is to rule and to reign with him. If you think that, you know, boy, my goal is just if I could have a big house with a three-car garage, then I would have arrived. Arrived where? Everything here is going to burn. Our destiny in Christ Jesus is to be at the Father's house, where he's preparing a place for us right now. And the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him. We're even going to rule over the angels. We're going to have authority over them. That should give you some notion that what you thought would be a really great destiny is aiming too low. God has better things planned for you if you are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone. into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, Jesus tested them with this question. But it says he already knew what he was going to do. Do you realize when God puts you in testing circumstances, he already has a plan? God is not making this up as he goes along. When you get in a situation, it's like, oh no, what will we do? And God says, yes, what will you do? And you say, I don't know, you're supposed to have the answer. And God says, I've got the answer. I am the answer. God has a plan, and his plan is perfect. The Bible says in Romans 12, his will for us is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't ever be afraid that, but if I surrender to the Lord, something really painful might happen. Yes, you might get nailed to a cross. But we call it Good Friday now. Because when Jesus suffered on that cross and died for us, everything that stood against us was nailed to that cross. And if God calls you to a kind of suffering that you would never choose for yourself, and frankly, I don't know a kind of suffering that I would choose for myself. When God calls you to suffer, it is not because he hates you. It's not because he overlooked some details and, oops, sorry about that, I should have seen that coming. It is because God knows exactly what he's up to, and it's for our good and his glory. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, we read in Hebrews. That just boggles my mind, because Jesus was sinless. But he still grew as the perfect man. And part of what was necessary for his perfection as our high priest was that he had to suffer. You and I are very, very naive if we think that doing the will of God will somehow exempt us from suffering. So Jesus already knew what he was going to do. There's always an accountant needed in the group. Philip was such a man. And he said, I've done the calculations. 200 denarii. Figure that would be a good amount. A denarius is one day's wage. So if we took two-thirds of a year, basically, 200 denarii, that's not quite two-thirds of a year. I'm not an accountant. But it's over half a year. If we took that much money, it wouldn't even be enough for everybody just to get a bite. I mean, this is a ridiculous expense. It doesn't make sense for us to try and feed everybody. And remember, read the other Gospels. Jesus had said, you give them something to eat. You give them something. You expect us to feed all of them? Come on, be serious. Lord. You ever talk to God kind of like that? You know, it's like, Lord, you can't mean. And yes, he does. So, Andrew comes forward. Clearly not a statistician, but a relational person. And he says, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I've always wondered, how did Andrew know that? Okay? I mean, had he seen the boy earlier and he said, hey, buddy, what you got there? You know? Or did the boy see Andrew and say, you know, hey, mister, look what I got? I mean, we don't know how this happened. We do know that Jesus had said, see what you have, which is what God often says when he's about to work a miracle. God will take what's in your hand. God will take what's in your bank account. God will take what's in your driveway. God will take what's in your living room. God can use anything. So he had said, see what you have. And Andrew says, well, there's a little boy. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. You read the other Gospels, there's another adjective used for everything. It's a small boy with five small loaves and two small fish. Okay? A huge crowd, a very small lunch. Okay? So Andrew says, but what are they for so many? And Jesus now gives a command. Have the people sit down. Again, read the other Gospels. You find that he told them to have them sit down in groups of 50 and 100. That's how they know that the men numbered about 5,000. Okay? So have them sit down. That's verse 10. Verse 11 is that those who were seated received the food. Jesus said to his disciples, have the people sit down in groups of 50 and 100. Those who obeyed received, according to verse 11. The food, so suppose you just don't feel like sitting down. You know? I mean, I'm kind of keeping an eye on what's going on here. Some fella I don't even know comes walking up to me and tells me I need to sit down. Huh. Who does he think he is? I mean, why should I have to sit down just because he says so? Well, he's bringing you God's word. Well, I'll stand, thanks. Well, then you're going to go hungry. You're going to miss the miracle. You may get to see it, but you're not going to receive it. Because your attitude is one of rebellion instead of submission. What is your attitude toward God's word? When you hear or read God's word, are you eager to do what God says, or are you thinking, I'll just watch for a while? I mean, I'm here, I showed up, but I really don't like to be told what to do. Kind of goes against your flesh. I got some of that too. And that's why the Bible tells me I've got to crucify it every day. I've got to die daily to self. Because my natural human nature is that I want to decide for myself, I'm going to stand back, I'm going to see, I'll observe. And to the extent that I do that, I can miss what God's doing. I believe somebody somewhere, when you hear this or see this, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was Andrew Murray, who was a wonderful Bible teacher and godly preacher from South Africa. Andrew Murray said that he prayed for years that God would send revival to his country. And then God sent revival to his country, and he became one of the leading opponents nationally of what God was doing. Because it didn't look like he expected. It didn't come the way he anticipated. Therefore, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. See, we want revival our way. We want God to move as we direct. Revival is a work of God's Spirit. God's the one who chooses when you're going to have revival. And our job is to pray and get our hearts ready before the Lord. So, God is the one who gives the commands. And when his word comes, the people who do what he says are the ones who see the miracles firsthand in their own lives. Okay? You could be standing there and see a miracle in front of you, but it's not the same thing as getting fed. The people who were seated were fed until they were full. And after they were full, there was left over. 12 baskets full of leftovers. And that's going to be important later on, because the disciples still haven't learned the lesson. No matter how many times we experience the truth of God's word, some of us are slow learners. And I'm so grateful that the disciples who were used by God to write his word were honest about their own slowness, because that gives me hope. But there's something else that happened here that is vital to our understanding. Not only did Jesus give a command and then those who obeyed received, but there was something else. It says, then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them. He gave thanks. And that's at the heart of what happened. And later on, when this miracle is referenced, when it's referred to, it's referred to as the place where Jesus gave thanks. What do you do when you are looking at a huge problem and what you are holding in your hand is small in the way of resources? When it looks as if the only way this need is going to be met is if Almighty God intervenes and works a miracle. You see, if I was in that situation, I'm not sure that I would be giving thanks. I think I might be complaining. I would tend to look at the little boy's lunch and say, you got to be kidding. What am I supposed to do with this? 5 small loaves, 2 small fish, 5,000 men plus women and children. We had them sit down in groups and we got a count, okay? We got 5,000 men plus women and children. You want me to feed them with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish? I mean, really? Is that a plan? Why does God put us in situations like that? Because he wants us to learn that he doesn't need what we've got, but he chooses to use what we've got so that we'll know it's him, not us. When I was a child, I was told about a woodpecker. I don't know why someone with the last name Wood would be told such a story, but I was told about a woodpecker that flew into the forest to try and begin his career. And he landed on a tree, and he went to hit the tree, and lightning struck the tree. And the tree split apart, and the woodpecker flapped back and said, wow, I'm strong. Yeah, I got the message. It's not us. It's not us. It's God. Everything we have comes from him. Everything. Even the 5 small loaves and the 2 small fish. Everything comes from him. And we need to take everything we have and everything we are and obey. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Do what you want. Have your way. And as we obey, we will see miracles. But don't hold back, and don't insist on standing when the Lord tells you, there's plenty of grass. Have a seat.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.